Greetings. You're now listening to the most handsome and intellectually superior specimens on Earth. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Starts now.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time of day it is where you are. We hope that you're doing well. Pleased to be able to bring you another episode of I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It. My name is Fresh. I'm thankful that you decided to join us today. Before we get into this week's episode, I'd like to remind you that if you like what you hear, please go to Apple Podcasts and rate our podcast and leave us a comment or two. And now without further delay, let's go ahead and get it rolling. I'd like to introduce my partner who is a connoisseur of all things cultural. He's my partner, podcast crime, Reg. Via satellite from the pimp mobile. What's going on, pimpin'?
Fresh, I hadn't seen you since the last time I saw you, brother. Where you at, man?
I'm obviously not in the place where you are. You, like I said, you on the Enterprise. You on the
I'm in the mothership.
Mothership, man.
You know what I'm mothership.
So what's good with you, man?
Man, that man just work and play every day, trying to keep the ship rolling.
Believe me, I know how that shit goes, brother. I know how that shit goes, man. Man, we gonna hit the people in the face with a little bit of I don't want to say an abbreviated episode, but we're gonna be straight to the point on it, man. You know, we want to talk about a couple things today. First being, I didn't really want to do this particular show, but I decided to go ahead and let's go ahead and get it done and get it moving. We wanted to talk about Kobe for a minute, man, and the accident that happened Sunday before last, man. What are your thoughts on that, man?
Man, you know, I'm still like most people, I'm sort of in shock. Real tragedy. Kobe was he was my number two guy, man. You know, behind Jordan, that was like my dude. And rest in peace to him and his daughter and the other seven. But you know me, I have to think, you know, it has to be perhaps something behind it as well. I hate to be a conspiracy theorist, but you have to think a little bit outside the box. That's sort of what I've been trying to do.
Man, please, like, please don't do no Umar Johnson shit on me, no, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, bro. No.
Yeah.
Don't do
that
shit.
But
don't do that.
What I'm saying is you can't count out some things that could possibly have happened to where the brother was taken out. I hope that's not the case. I've heard different things, but you know, we'll see as things develop. As they, and I know the FAA and the the National some safety
NTSB.
Board or whatever, is investigating what's going on. It might be something. Who knows? Could have been tampered with. Who knows? But it's a tragedy, man. I actually, when I got the news, it was via text from a friend, and I thought, you know, I know someone named Kobe, so I thought that's who it was. Like, wow, that's crazy. And then it was like, nah, Kobe Bryant. Like, what the fuck, man? You know? And I'm dumbfounded, man. What's on your heart, man?
Man, I mean, it's still not really real, man. Well, I actually got the news from your ass. And, you know, with that text that you sent into the group. I was on my way out to dinner, man. You know, so we're going to do an early dinner. And you said RIP Kobe Bryant. I was like, Red just smoking that ooh-wee today.
Oh, you thought I was.
I was just like, I thought it was just, you know, one of your dry ass humorous jokes that you normally put out there and shit.
I ain't playing,
And I was just like, I immediately went to ESPN.com because for anything sports, I pretty much trust their reputation in regards to reporting. So
right.
I went there and And I saw it and I was just like, fuck. And you know, I just immediately got sad. And I text my son because he's like the biggest Kobe Bryant fan, man, Lakers fan all around.
Yeah.
It has been since he was in, you know, since he was in diapers, man. You know, he's, you know, it's just crazy. So
it's surreal, man. It's very surreal. And I grew up a Lakers fan myself, and you know, you all week you heard, you know, everybody had dedications and whatnot, but it was good to hear like Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, like call him like the greatest Laker, you know, because right. You know, he's the only player that's played, you know, 20 years. The same organization.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's really kind of hard to refute that. I'm kind of with you. I mean, I don't think I'm going to exalt him to number one because of, you know, because he's passed or whatnot. We did a show on top 10 NBA players.
Yeah.
And I think those rankings, you know, will probably stay where they are depending on what, you know, LeBron James does over the next 3 or 4 years, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the greatest Laker, man. I mean, no doubt, because, you know, I mean, he was there longer than Magic, won just as many titles as Magic. You know, I mean, when you think about athleticism, you know, defense, Magic wasn't a real defensive whiz. You know, I mean, he played defense, but he wasn't as fleet of foot as Kobe was to be a defensive stopper.
Right.
You know, I mean, and when Magic says you're the greatest Laker, then I mean, you know, you're pretty much the greatest Laker. I mean, you know, you do that. So you just kind of take that for what it is. You know, a lot of the NBA players made the comparison, you know, saying, you know, when Jordan won his first championship, I think he was about 27. And then they said you look at Jordan at 27 and you look at Kobe at 27. That Kobe was light years ahead.
Yeah.
That may be true. That may be true. But at the same time, I do feel like that the level of competition Michael Jordan had to play with from the early 80s when they could basically slam you down on the court.
Oh, yeah.
And all you got was two free throws. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, I mean,
Jordan paid his dues.
Right. So I'm just saying, you know, I think it's a different era. And so I'm comfortable in saying that once Jordan left Chicago, I think Kobe immediately became, you know, the best player in the league that particular
year. Yeah. From 2000 on.
Yeah, from 2000 on. Yeah. And I mean, so I don't have a problem saying that at all. But the greatest of all time is, you know, when you start overlapping errors, it's hard to quantify and to make it stick and to make it make sense.
Yeah.
So, but man, like I said, it's a tremendous loss, man. You know, I haven't let my mind go to the conspiracy side of it, man, because it really just doesn't matter right now because he's not coming back. I mean, you got to think, man, I mean, that's some shit, bro, that you just don't really, you don't expect to happen.
I know, right?
You know, we just want to talk about some sensational shit. I did read that his wife's pretty much going to get everything.
Yeah.
Which, you know, California, that's what it is. You know,
Who is it?
I find that I read something to say he didn't have a will. I find it hard to believe having the type of people around him that he had, I find it hard to believe that he didn't have some type of will.
Is that what they were saying?
Yeah, I read something, man, and it could have been on. I mean, you're on the phone, so I can't look it up on my phone right now. But I did read this story, and it could have been a shitty tabloid type of article. I was just, you know, scrolling through because of what I was researching, because I saw a statement from his sister, but on behalf of the family, but I hadn't seen anything from his parents, and I was searching for that because I'm thinking, you know, your baby boy dies, I just thought that you would want to say something. I know they had, you know, some beef. Mm-hmm. I know they had some beef. I don't know where they were, in terms of reconciling that, because, you know, I didn't follow it like that, but you would have thought that, you know, his parents would have said something, but I think the sister issued a statement on behalf of the family. So that's what I was actually looking for, saying like, man, I mean, I wonder how the parents are doing. I mean, because that's, I wasn't looking for any type of, you know, podcast fodder. I was just looking because I'm thinking like, man, they got to be hurting. I wonder how they're feeling. Have they said anything? You know what I'm saying? Just to kind of see what was up.
Yeah, I ain't heard about it from the parents. Yeah.
So, but, and then that's when I came across an article that said that he didn't have a will. And I'm thinking like, I just.
It don't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. I mean, you got to think. I mean, Rob Pelinka was one of his best friends. This guy's, I think, an attorney by trade, you know, was an agent, general manager of the Lakers. Now I'm thinking you got people around you that are smarter than that. You know what I'm saying? And then on top of that, Kobe wasn't a dummy either. So, you know, you got to think, I just didn't think that was true, but nonetheless, I'm going to tell you what has kind of pissed me off a little bit though, man. It's like when you talk about, when you talk about legacy, man, you know, people want to try to bring up what happened in Colorado with, you know, with the young lady and whatnot. And my whole thing is this, man. I mean, the charges end up getting dropped. It's like, you know, we don't ever, when the scales of justice tip in our favor, we still don't get the acknowledgement of the fact that they're tipped in our favor.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, there always has to be an asterisk, you know, because there's plenty of people that have caught cases. And then people say, oh, well, you know, they didn't prosecute or the charges were dropped. And I know that there is a, you know, a higher set of stakes that you're playing against, you know, a higher set of stakes that are there when you are a high profile athlete, when your Q rating is so high and when you're as recognizable as he was. So, I mean, I get that particular portion of it, but I think it's kind of low hanging fruit for professional media people to bring up something that is, I mean, what? Damn near 20 years old at this point.
16 years old or something? Yeah.
So I'm thinking, you know, I just look at it like this. You remember the white boy that raped that young girl behind a dumpster? The Stanford dude? All right. So, remember the judge was like, oh, he's a kid, or his dad was like, he's a kid, and da-da-da-da. He gets like, what, a slap on the wrist or something like that? Mm-hmm. Don't want to ruin his life or whatever. So then, you know, you get Kobe, who had a sexual encounter with this woman. I mean, because he admitted it. So, you know, we're not going to sidestep that. He fucked her.
Yeah,
but when it's all said and done, there's no charges that are actually pressed. Right. The charges are dropped, but yet, you know, you want to try to sully his name in death. You know what I'm saying? And the funny thing is, like, you know, when he was alive, especially in the latter part of his career, people were on his nuts getting interviews left and right because they knew he was coming to the end as far as his career goes, and he was doing other things outside of sports, and they figured out that, oh, this motherfucker's a genius.
Right.
Let me attach myself to him. Let me get an interview. What are you doing, Kobe? What are you doing? What's the next for you? Yeah, can I get an interview? Can you do this show? Can you do? Because Kobe was everywhere, dude. He was more visible after
his retirement
than he was on the court. He was everywhere, and everybody was on his nuts trying to get an interview. Everybody.
Yeah.
And then these same motherfuckers turn around, and then they try to do that shit and call it journalism. It's like, it's not journalism when the shit is 16 years old and the shit is public knowledge.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, you're just trying to throw salt at that particular point. And so, I mean, I know something happened that particular night, you know, but only those two know, and the authorities, or however it happened, they didn't press charges. So now what?
I mean, when you're black, you're guilty until proven innocent. So, you know, unfortunately.
But that's the thing. They weren't even, the charges were dropped. Legally speaking, the charges were dropped.
Right, right. But you know, that still doesn't matter. And to what you're saying, man, that pissed me off all week. To see stuff like that, blatantly calling him a racist. Right. A rapist.
Right.
Blatantly calling him a rapist. And all you can do is just sort of shake your head and say, how dare you, to everything that you said, man, that shit just pissed me off this week. Another thing was some sly remarks off of a certain network that happened to call them, refer to them as the Los Angeles niggas. I saw that
shit, man. And you know what's funny, man? I have got the studio in the house and shit, right? So I had actually ripped that audio. I put it in my I can sample in my I can sample on my drum machine and shit. So I ran it through the MPC,
mm-hmm.
and I slowed that shit down as slow as I could get it. And she was like, niggers. You know what I'm saying, man? So, I mean, mm-hmm. I just, because honestly, I'm going to be real with you. Honestly, I saw the story before I heard the audio.
Oh, okay.
And I said, well, it's plausible. If she's not a sports person, maybe she's thinking, New York Knicks. And I'm just thinking, man, it's just a dumb little white chick, man, that don't know nothing about sports. And they got her up here reporting this shit on this real famous basketball player. She's just doing her job. That was my first thought. I was just like, man, because nobody in their right fucking mind is going to say that shit. You know what I mean? Then when I listened, I was like, ain't this a bitch?
Yeah.
She really did that shit, man. She really did that shit.
Yeah, it's that Martin Luther Coon slip that they've done over the years in media, where they Martin Luther Coon, King, Los Angeles Niggers, and the Lakers.
Right.
The Knicks have absolutely nothing to do with Kobe.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That's why I thought that she just doesn't know anything about sports. Somebody probably told her, I think he plays for the Knicks. Somebody else that didn't know those. I was trying to give the benefit of the doubt until I heard it and slowed it down. Yeah. I was like, yeah. I was like, all right, bitch.
Yeah, right. And there's a whole lot of people caping for her, black and white, of course, but definitely some black folks out there she said Nakers. She said Nakers. I support her.
Yeah.
But,
It's like this. When you see me, you don't never say, what's up, my Naker?
Yeah, right.
that ain't what happens, bro.
It's very clear. And she's not, she's still employed. So, it depends, if they can get away with stuff like that, they can get away with other things. And that's how some things in media, that's how it works. Like, we can mess around with y'all. We can call you with you. We can tell you what you heard. You didn't hear, nigga. No, you didn't. But that was sort of that's sad how things have to be smeared. But again, what do you expect the naysayers and the haters to really do? And
haters gonna hate, Pippin. Haters gonna hate.
That's what it's gonna be. And I was just looking at something. I think he was worth about $600 million, man. I saw another thing was like $800 million. So somewhere between $600 and $800 million, going back to. You're talking about, his wife being the heir. He has a very nice estate there, brother. So, I hope that the children and that's just terrible, dude.
Well, he was part of a venture capitalist fund that shit was worth $2 billion in and of itself. So, I don't know what his stake was in that, but. But yeah, man, it's just terrible, man. I mean, definitely, I'm not one to say, gone too soon.
Okay.
Because there are certain people whose impact is so, the gravity of the, of their impact on people's minds and their psyche and their lives is heavy enough to where, even if you spread it over a long period of time, it's still heavy. And what he did in 41 short years, just from the time he got drafted, that's 25 years maybe. you know?
Yeah.
You know, you think about over the course of a quarter century.
Right.
You know, I mean,
he changed a lot.
He changed a lot of people. You know, had his ups and his downs. You know, he had to grow up in front of everybody. See, that's what people don't understand. And you know, you have to. Let's just go back to the Colorado thing. Yeah. This dude's 24, married for a couple of years, maybe at the time or something, but he's a young dude. 24 in guys, I hate to say it, is more like 19 a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
We don't mature as fast. So, you know, they'll call a white dude a kid when he's 24, but you know, a black man is a full grown man. And although in body he was, but the maturity level probably wasn't there.
Right.
So that's what enabled him to get himself in the position in the first place. Whatever happened after that, only those two know. So, but I'm saying that to say, when you have to grow up in the spotlight and have those ups and have those downs and still keep your fucking sanity.
Yeah.
To still be able to mature and become, you know, a better husband and a better father and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And without waving the flag saying, hey, look, I'm maturing, you know, because a lot of motherfuckers do that. You know, they want the spotlight on their growth and this, that, and the third, but he just did it. He didn't talk about it. He just did it. So,
right. That's, you know, right. And
that says a lot, man, because, you know, he could have easily brought a lot of attention to himself and put his family out there as his shield, per se, as to like, look at me. But he was just being a regular dude.
Yeah.
And I think that he finally found that lane. And that's the lane that he figured that, man, this is where I'm the best. I was good at basketball, but this husband and dad shit, I'm really good at this. You see what I'm saying? And it took him a while to get there. But damn, I mean, that's life though, man. That's life.
And I think what we can learn from that is his work ethic. We talked about that on the NBA episode too, how he has a killer instinct, you know, as a player, but he's a perfectionist, and he you know, was very particular about what he did on the court and in this case off the court, after, you know, everyone makes mistakes or whatever decisions you like to maybe take back, but how he, I mean, you know, not to belabor what you said, but basically I think his character showed on and off the court, so.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean,
it's something to learn from.
Right, because good character is not necessarily doing everything right all the time. Character is open-ended. You know what I'm saying? It's like you can develop better character being put in positions where you have to exercise it. It's like a muscle. It's like a muscle. You know what I'm saying? And nobody makes the best decision every single time.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I wish that, you know, that he hadn't had that particular quote unquote stain on his legacy that people keep bringing up. But it is what it is. Hell, we talked about it. So it is what it is. I mean, you can't run from it. And it's going to be that piece that is going to remain awkward. And shit, he lived through it and he thrived through it. So, I mean, I'm not going to trip about it.
Right.
It is what it is. So rest in peace, Kobe Bean Bryant. And his daughter's friends and the coach. The young ladies that were on there, the pilot, man.
Pilot. I mean,
it's just you know, it's fucked up, man.
It's fucked up. Some sad shit, man.
Yeah, it's fucked up. But anyway, man.
Dude.
Let's move on, man. You know, they had that other game this past Sunday, man.
Yeah.
And you know, I was a guest on the podcast, man, and I had predicted that San Francisco would win 24-20. And for a while, it looked like it was going to be that.
Okay.
But it looked like it was going to be the other way around, because Kansas City came back and it was 24-20 at one point. I was like, damn, I predicted the score. And it was just
it was reversed.
It was reversed, yeah. So,
okay.
But then they got that late touchdown and that, you know, and that blew that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was all wrong about it, man. I really thought, I mean, once again, congratulations to the Atlanta Falcons that blew another lead. Y'all coach out here just blowing leads, man. You know, he fucked that one up. When he was an offensive coordinator at Atlanta. I'm going to have my hometown people going to be killing me off that shit, bro. Kyle Shanahan blew another lead in the Super Bowl.
And that's some crazy shit.
Yeah,
I thought maybe San Fran would win, but I was pulling for KC. I got some family out there. I got a cousin that I'm close to that, man, you're talking about real fans, man, KC?
Yeah,
they don't waver, man.
Yeah,
they're crazy with it. That's the thing. They don't really waver, so.
Right. It's always voted by the players, man, or mentioned as the players, as a player, by the players, as one of the toughest places to play. Arrowhead Stadium, I mean, it's like every year. And that's been going on that's been going on forever. It's always been tough to play there, man. But, you know, I even said, man, when I was on the Urban Analyst, man, I said that, you know, I thought that San Francisco was going to win, but I wouldn't be mad if they put 60 on them motherfucker. If Kansas City put 60 on them, because, you know, Eric Bieniemy didn't get hired by anybody. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that pisses me off, man, because, you know, Eric Bieniemy, man, was one of the best running backs in the country when he was at the University of Colorado.
Okay.
And he was a Heisman finalist. 19 year coaching career.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But he's not qualified.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, y'all start hiring these, you know, these. You know how this shit go. I'm not even getting my blood pressure up today, man. But
hey, I know.
But you know, it's one of the things, man, where it just pisses you off because here you have somebody that has shown you exactly what it can do. It wasn't just this year. You know, the guy has succeeded wherever he went.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't become offensive coordinator by failing at the positions that you, at least as a black coach, you don't get the coordinator position by failing at your position coach, as your position coach position.
Right.
You don't get promoted unless you do a good ass job.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I'm happy, you know, Patrick Mahomes, you know, black quarterback, even though he's half black, he's still black as fuck.
Yeah,
you know, I'm glad he got, you know, got a ring, got MVP. And I saw a meme today, man, and I didn't even think about this shit, but man, three black quarterbacks, Kyler Murray got offensive rookie of the year.
Rookie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Lamar Jackson got MVP. And then Patrick Mahomes got a ring and Super Bowl MVP.
Damn, is that? I'm pretty sure that's a first.
It is a first.
For those.
That's a whole bunch of black ass quarterbacking, right?
And guess what? It was all earned. Anything we do is earned, man. Nothing really given to us. So you know, brothers really out here doing it. So yeah, that's a good stat. That's a good stat. I ain't think about it. But all of them definitely. We knew Lamar was getting it.
But then look at the quarterbacks that were in the playoffs. Shit, Russell Wilson was in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson was in the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's like, basically, if you had a black quarterback, your ass went to the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
New Orleans went to the playoffs, didn't they?
And yeah, they lost in the first round.
And who went 5-0 when Drew Brees was hurt?
Bridgewater.
There you go. Black quarterback.
Yeah.
University of Louisville, stand up. You know how it is.
Okay.
Lamar Jackson, University of Louisville, stand up.
Okay.
No, we don't. And what's your quarterback doing, Mr. Trubisky? The UNC shit.
I don't pull for UNC football, sir. I don't pull for UNC football.
Yeah, you a Tar Heel, man. You get lucky with all that shit. All that shit.
I could give a shit. I pull for Clemson, typically, but yeah. But yeah, did you watch that halftime?
Actually, not when it happened. I wasn't recording, but I found it on YouTube, and I think I was taking a shit, man. And I said, let me watch this thing.
TMI, nigga.
Yeah, I'm just saying, man. I said, let me watch this thing, because I saw a whole lot of hate on there. And so, you know, and I did end up posting on my personal Facebook page about it, but it wasn't something that that I would have paid for.
Either.
But it was entertaining. I mean, it was entertaining. I don't see what the what the big deal is. But however, you know, again, you know, I was a guest on the podcast last week, and you know, we talked about up at that time it was the upcoming entertainment, and then they, you know, I told them that Shakira and J-Lo was going to be on there. We had a conversation about that, and you know, that's your boy. Like, so shout out to Hove again. You know, you had one job.
You had one job, right?
Yeah, one job.
Well, you know,
but again, I mean,
y'all gave him the pass, man.
Y'all gave him the pass.
No, but then people saying, well, it was in Miami, so you know, it was a Latino. It looked like a damn Cinco de Mayo show.
It was
entertaining.
Where the fuck was Luke? They ain't even had DJ Khaled up there. Where was DJ Khaled? Where was Rick Ross? Where was Trick Daddy?
Where was Trina?
Trick. I think Trick got a case right now, but
yeah.
But so I understand his absence. But you get my point, man.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. I mean, it's not like they didn't go all out to try to represent the full culture, because I mean, you know, that Miami culture is going to include bass music.
Yeah.
You know, it wouldn't have hurt them to have. I mean, shit, that nigga didn't even have Pitbull up there. Pitbull is Mr. 305. That's his name, right? So
yeah.
They ain't even had Pitbull up there. I bet he said, like, okay, when I'm getting in, they was like, sorry, son, sit this one out.
Yeah.
And you know, so, and he's what, Cuban?
Yeah.
So
he's Cuban. Yeah.
If he's not out here, I apologize. But nonetheless. You know, I just think that if they wanted to be representative of the culture of the city, that was a one-sided look. And I think that what they did it relatively well, because it was entertaining. It wasn't like it was boring. I mean, it was high energy. It was creative. You know, the choreography was on point. Dog, let me tell you, I was in this group, man. Oh, man, bruh. They was clowning, man. It was one dude is one of your frat brothers.
Okay.
And it was another dude. It's another dude in the group. He's a cute. And they were just talking. They were talking about the halftime show. And the dude that was a cute, he said, man, y'all saw the halftime show. He's like, man, yeah, the Kappas did their thing.
Oh, God.
I was in the floor, bro. I was in the floor. Because then I went back and, you know, they had the little shit where they was twirling the shit. Man.
Oh, no.
And they just started going on and on and on about that shit, bro. That shit had me in the floor, man.
But you know what? I mean, yeah, it was entertaining. But, you know, it's hard when, you know, Beyonce sort of changed the game.
The bar is pretty high for
exactly. It is, and you know, respect the J-Lo and Shakira, but yeah, but I think they were just trying too hard out there. You know, yeah. It's like they were trying to extra do some little extra booty shaking, and it didn't work for me.
You know,
I mean,
all about the ass, bro. You know,
I mean, you know, touche. You know, but what I'm saying is, it's. You can tell when it's natural and when it's not.
It's show business, man. That's show business. But check this out, though, man. Yeah. One thing that I will say about this, man, I've been getting back into the swing on the social media shit, and I peruse as much as I can during the day.
Yeah.
But what I'm seeing, man, I saw a lot of Latina people getting offended by some of the shit the black people are saying, you know, about it. And you know, talk about, oh, what about, you know, black and brown unity, da 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 da. My response would be, unity happens when you are not busy trying to identify with your conqueror, you know. So it's like, I mean, I'm pretty sure there's some Latina people that listen to the podcast, which, you know, if y'all want to come at me, you come at me. But you understand what I'm about to say, don't you? It's like when you spend most of your time trying to identify with being white, instead of actually being brown, we remember that shit.
Yeah,
you know, it's so I don't see what the fucking shock is.
There's no black and brown coalition. basically. It's just, you know, everybody that's, you know, somebody said it before, hold your own nuts.
Right.
Because when they're not to go off on a real tangent here, but when there's a Latino or brown concern or issue, they want us to march. They want us to be vocal for them.
Right.
But when black folks need help, man, that's we are on an island, man.
Right.
So, and to a lot of those dancing that was out there, there was a tweet or something I read. Shakira was saying, calling the name of it being from South America. Man, it was a bunch of African originated dancing out there.
It should look like a motherfucking step show at some point.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, but again, like I said, I mean, when you're busy trying to identify with your conqueror instead of identifying with your roots, then that's the kind of shit that you get. Because I mean, it kills me, man, when people talk about, you know, I'm not black, I'm Puerto Rican. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not black, I'm Dominican.
I'm Dominican.
I'm not black, but I'm Cuban. I'm not black, I'm this. You know, I'm Brazilian, and I'm just like, you know, those are nationalities. Those aren't races.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how many times I had to say that shit to ignorant motherfuckers. That shit, you know, Puerto Rican is not a race.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? This shit's not a race. It's a nationality.
Right.
You know, Dominican. I know a couple of dudes that are from the Dominican Republic, and they're black as fuck.
Yeah. They be dark now. I mean, look at Cubans, man.
That's what I'm saying. So, I mean, the motherfuckers need to get their head twisted on right, because...
Yeah.
You know, I mean, but again, man, you know, the minds are weak, man. And, you know, they can be manipulated whenever people think they can actually get some type of advantage by being more closely associated with being white. That's just what it is.
I mean, they went through, you know, a bunch of those islands go through a lot of colorism and.
Right. They do. Brazil's one of the worst. Know. I mean, that's funny. It's more black people in Brazil than anywhere on the face of the earth.
Besides Africa. Yeah, it's the second. You're right.
And they are really bad about this shit.
Yeah.
Really bad about this shit. So, you know, and you know, Dominicans have a really, really, really complex relationship with Haitians.
Yeah.
So, you know, call it what it is, man.
I know some, and I've heard conversations.
Right. So all your Latinas out there, man, just shit straight, man. Just shit straight. There's some black in your ass somewhere. So
the quicker
you identify that shit and identify with it, you'll get a little bit more support when it comes time to get it. Because I mean, it's quite frankly, man, black folks ain't having that shit now, man. It's like, you know, you're so quick to run away from the blackness, but you know. But anyway,
be everything but black.
Right, be everything but black. But hey, it is what it is. I even saw a chick online said, "What's your race?" "I'm Puerto Rican." And I just put, "Puerto Rican's not a race."
You know,
it's not a race. People are ignorant as fuck, dude. But anyway, man. Let's move on from that.
That's a whole nother show.
That's a show, man. We need to talk about why. We did the colorism show, man, but the audio fell out on that joint that time. So that was a good ass show too, man. We need to revisit that one time.
Damn sure did, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to revamp some stuff.
So see, people are like, man, they did a show on colorism. Yeah, we did a show on colorism, but we had technical difficulty, so I couldn't upload it.
Yeah.
Couldn't edit it. So we'll revisit it because it was hot. But man, let's talk about Black History Month, man, since we are in February.
Yeah, man.
You know, I'm pretty sure you like me, man. I'm it's Black History 365 in this bitch.
That's right.
Or should I say 365.25 and 366 and 366 every motherfucking leap year.
Okay. This year.
Yeah, exactly. You know. But man, I mean, I just wanted to pose the question, man. Why is Black History Month important to you, or what does it mean to you?
Well, what it means to me, man, is really black pride and black awareness. It's a time that, for me, you know, like a lot of people, you know, that have grown up in this country, that you sort of cling to black history programs, and when you're little, depending on, you know, how you grew up or where you know, you'd be a part of maybe some church programs or neighborhood community center, like little programs that you go to, and you learn about your ancestors, you learn about people who carved out, you know, this country, man. And for me, like right now, it's very empowering, man. It forces me to really think about, you know, pay homage to those who came before me. Shout out to Carter G. Woodson, who was the known as the father of Black history, and he, in the 1920s, sort of started, you know, the Black History Week. And people say, you know, hey, you know, they gave us the shortest month. They always, you know, make that little sly remark or whatever. But actually, if you think about it, February is a good month in terms of, like, you know, when the new year starts, what do people do? They make resolutions, and, you know, they try to think and try to cleanse themselves mentally and try to, you know, physically, I want to do this. They set goals, and it's supposedly a positive time frame. And February just sort of backs, you know, just sort of, it follows January. I think it's a good refresher for you, you know, in terms of the rest of the year. And but for me, it's really all that, and it just sort of reminds me of how unique we are as a group, being Black Americans. We're very unique, man. No one has gone through the struggle that our ancestors have gone through, really, in the world. All the things that we've that they've been through, and you know, the blood, sweat, and tears of putting things together to really where immigrants are enjoying a lot of the shit we supposedly would be enjoying. But we're a very unique group, and let's relish in the fact that it's a lot of greatness that really came before us, a lot of foundational Black Americans that have led the way, and hopefully we can carry the torch. So that's my small dissertation, if you will, on Black history and what it means. But I'm glad. Read up on Carter G. Woodson. I actually put a post on IG today because I picked up his I had the first book I read that actually I was assigned to read in college was The Miseducation of the Negro. And that book from 1991 is like on my shelf right now. That same book, it's just like a keeper. And he was a real radical dude, man. You know, he did some things. He was unapologetic, I just encourage listeners, I encourage you to, you know, sort of read up more on him and some of the things that he did to sort of help with the movement of Black history.
All right, man, that's what it is, man. As far as, you know, Black History Month to me, man, is why it's important. I don't know if it has a quote unquote particular meaning for me at this particular point in my life, at this stage in my life. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but I actually mean it in a good way. Because I heavily internalized this particular month. And as I do just about every day, man, just thinking about the greatness that is our people. To me, just like you said, man, you know, beginning of the year, I think it's a good month too, because, you know, people need to refocus and recharge and, you know, re-energize themselves and recalibrate their emotions and their focus. And what better way to do it than to think about the people that have come before you who have achieved some of the greatest things under the most dire circumstances.
Right.
You know, I think that using Black History Month as a motivational tool is kind of where I am with it overall at this particular point. I mean, it's, you know, I always pick up something new, you know, every year that I didn't know before. But it, to me, it's about motivation, man. Because if our ancestors and even some of our contemporaries, man, because I just, if somebody has done something within the past 40 years, they're a contemporary to me. Okay. And so if you've achieved that, because you think about it, man, you know, 40 years ago was 1980. Right? Mm. You see what I'm saying? I mean, it's not that long ago.
So, man, you, so old.
I know, right?
40 years ago was 80.
Right. So then you think about it, man. 20 years before that, we're still in Jim Crow.
Yeah.
And so black people have been turning the fucking world on its ear. You know, yeah. It's since the beginning of time. But to do it under the circumstances that we've had to do it under in this particular country, a country that has pretty much dogged us since we stepped foot on soil. You know, that's motivation to me. That's motivation.
That's a key word, man, motivation.
Right.
Not to cut you off. But, you know, I was thinking about it in terms of like, you know, how you just went back in time. If you keep going back, this is real quick, just take Carter G. Woodson for an example. He was born in 1875, right? His parents were slaves. He ends up being, getting like, you know, 2 or 3 degrees or what have you. He's the second black American to get a PhD from Harvard. The first was W.E.B. Du Bois. And to do, if you just think about the time period in which they lived in to do the things that we are now picking up the torch to do, right? I'm talking about this man who died in 1950. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
At 64 years old. Like, if they can do it then without phones, internet, without a lot of shit. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Computers.
Right.
Cars. You just keep going. What is our damn excuse?
That,
you know what I'm saying?
That was the next point that I was going to make.
Yeah, so caring, motivation, what you're saying, that is the perfect word. Like, we should be motivated every day. In my office, I have over my desk a picture of Black Wall Street to remind me. It's things in my office that remind me, damn it, what are you doing? Reg, what are you doing? You know what I'm saying? These motherfuckers, as a matter of fact, next year would be 100 years from Black Wall Street. And what happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I'm like, the community that they built should motivate me 100 years later that I need to be doing some things that they did.
Right.
You know, I have more opportunity right now to do it. So, right. But I wanted to hijack that word that you use, motivation, because that's exactly what it is.
Yep. So, man, I just want to let the people know, man, that in addition to Apple Podcasts, the podcast is now available on Google Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and CastBox, Podbean, with more outlets to come in the future. You can also connect with us on the social media platforms on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at ICBW Podcast. That's at ICBW Podcast. Be sure to like, comment, follow, subscribe, all that shit. You can also check us out on our website at icbwpodcast.com. Hey, man, check this out, Reg. I got some mugs coming, man. We're gonna have some mugs with our
mugs.
Yeah, some coffee mugs with
our faces.
Yeah, with the faces with the new graphic on them, man. It's gonna be dope, man. So okay. those should be here. Hopefully, I got one order coming in for the clothing line that's coming in really soon, and so the podcast merchandise should be here very shortly. You guys can still get shirts online, man, or you can hit me up, however you want to do it, man. We can do it. So we appreciate you taking out the time to check us out. Reg is still on the mothership on cruise control, cruising at 500 million light years from the earth. You in the pimposphere.
Yes. It's purple up here. It's purple.
Alright, man.
Be good, be safe, and behave, brother.
We out.
I could be wrong, but I doubt it. So don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct, and you should probably hurry. It gets crowded. Bring a friend with you. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct, and you should hurry up. It might get crowded. Bring a friend with you. Expression Reds, their curators are cool. The culture and consciousness brought directly to you. Tune in every week for the newest of new and occasional politics as it pertains to you. Divergent point of views make for a whole picture, and we suggest you get your money up and take the shit with you. Ain't no fountain to you, but it's a secret elixir to ensure the black man as a permanent fixture. Standing here in America behind enemy lines, where more often than not my skin's considered a crime. Cops kill us daily and will never do time, while a crooked ass judge decides to fate for mine. One day at a time is what my mama would say, and since mama said living ain't no time to play, and since I got a little game, I'ma give it away. But let's start the show before I get carried away. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. So don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct, then you should probably hurry, it gets crowded. Bring a friend with you. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct, then you should hurry up, it might get crowded. Bring a friend with you.
You just tuned in to I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It, hosted by Fresh and Reg. Holla back next week.